On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we're calling all dogs. It's one thing to talk a good game, but we're coming at the players that bring it every night. Those gritty, grimy, hungry dudes with no back down and no quit. To do that, we have Etiwanda High School standout and incoming UCLA recruit, Jalen Clark. Jalen attacks his opponent on the defensive side of the ball and scores it at a high clip as well. For Gil, he knows all about that dog mentality, what it takes to truly earn the label, and what it means when you see one coming at you in a defensive stance. Make no mistake about it, for Agent Zero, it's no small task. So if you consider yourself a dog, you better be ready to prove it at all times. It's a No Chill Podcast. Remember to subscribe to us on the Himalaya platform or wherever you get your podcasts. Also be sure to subscribe to the No Chill channel on YouTube, and also be sure to check out No Chill with Gilbert Arenas every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fubo TV. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. That's Gilbert Arenas in a fresh J. Rich jersey. Is that signed on the back?
Of course.
Oh, I know.
All my jerseys are signed. I mean, I don't wear just regular jerseys, like probably you.
I don't wear jerseys.
No, I'm just saying, you know, if you did, it probably wouldn't be signed. It'd just be like some...
If I had a signed jersey, I wouldn't wear it. You frame it.
I know. This was before I frame it.
You're the only person that wears the signed jersey.
Like it. Signed, feel good. My man J. Rich, the city.
But those colors, the blue and gold, we have Jalen Clark here today. Blue and gold, UCLA incoming freshman.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show. All right. Pac-12, I don't know if that's going to be a problem.
Pac-10
in your day, Pac-12 now. Mm-hmm. That's a throwback for you. There were only 10 teams in the conference at that point.
What did they add? Utah and something else?
Utah and Colorado.
There you go. So Jalen is from Rancho Cucamonga, went to Etiwanda in high school. First team All-CIF, All-State here in California. 30-4 senior season. It ended. The point is that season's over. On we go to UCLA. So some schools that made offers to you were UNLV, USC, Colorado, Cal, Illinois, Boise State, but you chose UCLA.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I originally wanted to go to Colorado from the jump, but because that was before Mick Cronin had everything figured out and I was ready to pull the trigger. But I transferred from my last high school to Etiwanda, and that hurt me the way I left there and everything. So then I was playing the senior season with really nothing, like, because the way I left and everything. And Mick came out and watched me play, and I didn't miss a shot that game. I was blocking everything, and then he wanted me right there, and it was just, that was it from the start.
But you had these choices. Eventually, sure. you decided on the home, basically the hometown school. What went into that decision?
He wanted me. He made it very obvious that he wanted me. And I feel like I can play there in his system and how he is. He likes the defensive guys. Like, there's grimy people that get up, don't mind doing dirty work. So that's the type of player I know I am. So I feel like I can thrive there.
But now where you're going to be, close to home in L.A., Gil, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or maybe both?
I mean, it's a good thing for college. You know, when you're a college kid, you don't have the pressure of being on your own, you know, going through, you know, the struggles of what, you know, college basketball kids, you know, or athletes themselves go through financially. So, you know, you can fall back on mom and pops.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that kind of helps. And, you know, just having your supporting cast with you, you know, kind of help to keep your confidence up. You know, UCLA is high profile program. So, you know, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be on prime time. So all from there, you just do you.
Yeah, for sure.
And even playing in L.A., obviously, I think being in a major city in college is a rare thing. If you think about it, like New York.
Yeah, most of them are in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Most college, like Arizona's in its own, like, town.
Yeah. We're in Tucson. Yeah. You know, but that's usually what college
most
was about.
Colleges,
just, you know, small towns. And UCLA and USC is prime.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you just prime. You know,
but you also do
location.
Share the light with a lot of other, the Lakers, the Clippers, a lot of other teams, too.
Yeah, but, you know, they, you know, with UCLA, because of, you know, the past and the history there, they stand on their own.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if you
especially
if you had
since they were winning in this year, it came back to life.
Yeah, you know, from, I mean, L.A. is Lakers, UCLA.
Yeah, and the Clippers.
I was going to say.
Is Clippers in front of USC?
Yeah. In front of USC?
USC is low.
Yes.
I mean, football. I mean, I'm thinking USC football.
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, USC basketball, no.
I mean, Kings is probably what they have to be.
When it comes to the basketball.
I mean, just sports itself.
Yeah.
Lakers, Kings, UCLA.
The Dodgers up there in LA.
Lakers, UCLA.
Oh,
Kings.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, you top four.
Yeah, top four.
You know, so that's amazing when you have like prime, you know, organizations.
Sure. And the crazy thing about Westwood in LA, Westwood is a village. Westwood Village. Yeah. So when you're there, it feels like you're removed from all
of LA. Little town. Yeah, it's crazy. It has a different vibe in there for sure.
Yeah.
So if you talk about places like Boise State, you know, you go to that campus and there's really nothing around you. Mm-hmm. You don't ever leave that. But if you leave the Westwood Village, whoa, I'm on, you know, I'm Sunset Boulevard or I'm Santa Monica by the beach.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing too. Like I've never been to, like I live in a good middle class area, but I never been to where you go, walk off and it's Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Mastro's. Like, ain't no Wendy's right there on the camp. Like you have to go get away to see all that. So that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, dang, you got Astros and all that right next to you.
Right.
It's right that is a selling point for UCLA.
More importantly, you got In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A right there.
That's a selling point for it. I don't know why they don't use that in their brochures.
For sure.
It's like, we got Mastro's right next to the campus. We don't have McDonald's like they do down at USC.
Yeah.
We got Mastro's right here. Come on down here and get, get you some free gift cards.
And even being in LA, Gil, you would know this, that it's a different culture here for any other college experience, let alone the basketball experience. You put all these layers into it, and UCLA, I mean, it's a standout program.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the history here, the training here, you know, UCLA players are fortunate because in the summer, all NBA players come here. All of, Rico Hines now, with all the pros coming, they get that pro experience. They get to really test their skills to see where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure a lot of players went up against, you know, NBA players and had great moments and be like, you know what, I think I'm going to declare.
Yeah,
You know, because you get to battle.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, it's low-level games. It's high-level, especially really high-level for UCLA players, so that's the advantage that, you know, UCLA kids have, that they get NBA pros coming in there in the summer and running with them.
I mean, if you compare like a Duke, let's say, and Kentucky, which they're a culture, but it's a different culture when you have the influence of, I really think the alumni at UCLA is a benefit.
For sure. And the old players always coming back. They all use the facilities still, so that's cool too.
Because people say, like, oh, man, all these guys went to UCLA. You would think they would just have banners. I mean, they have a ton of banners, but from back in the day more so. But I think the more important thing for you to look at is how it's going to propel my professional career.
For sure. I feel like that's if you go to the Blue Bloods, I feel like you're really giving yourself a shot to get to the league.
So is that what you looked at, really, not just the college experience, but where I can get to from there?
Well, I wanted to go somewhere where I know I could play and hit the floor, too. I feel like you can go to wherever school you want, but if you ain't seen the floor, it don't matter. It don't matter where you go. And I wanted to go somewhere where it shows the best side of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go somewhere where it's a real half-court offense because I excel in the flow of the game, mm-hmm. full-court running. Or when they go to, like, a zone, like a Syracuse, I like playing man, getting up in people. So it worked out with Cronin. Like, that's the perfect fit. So I lucked out.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, too, about picking colleges is picking what fits your game to excel. You know, a lot of kids don't really understand that. You know,
like
they go for the names versus, like, you know, if you're a guard, you know, depending on what kind of guard you are, depending on what kind of school you go to. You know, if you're a high-level scoring guard, Calipari.
Yeah.
You know, he pushes you. You know, so, like, I mean, when I went to Arizona, you know, they're thinking about redshirting me. I have DePaul. And I have Kansas State, but I know from previous, you know, Lute Olson has NBA guards. His system thrives around guards. So, you know, if my chance was going to make it, it would have been under, you know, his offense.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, picking a great offense. If you're a defensive guy, picking a great defensive system that makes you excel too.
Yeah.
So, you know, picking, you know, colleges, you know, that fits around what you do is very important too.
Gil, imagine this. You were that kid coming from the Valley, and you went to a school 20 minutes away from home. What's the challenge there?
I mean, probably going to class for me. You know what I mean? If
that wasn't a challenge in Arizona, because you know, I feel like that was the case
when
too.
You finally leave from under your parents' rules,
yeah,
and get your own little rules, you really don't, you know, I mean, I'm gonna go back to wash my clothes and, you know, do all that. But for the most part, you're on your own. You get to really just set your own times, your own thing, finally try to be somewhat of an adult. So,
yeah,
you know, other than that, you know, friends and all that, but you're too busy. You know, you're too busy to really, really hang out like that with classes and practices and, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, how to get better. You know, you don't really have time for outside.
But Rancho Cucamonga for you is, that's what, like 2-3 hours away from campus?
Well, nah, you only
got LA traffic.
Not really. Not that. It's like an hour to get here and back. I don't live in Rancho. I live in Eastville, Corona.
Oh, Corona.
But yeah, it's not bad like that getting there and coming back. I just feel like I'm fortunate to be from out here because I'm not going to get caught up in stuff others coming from California, coming to California would get caught up in. Like the lights on, I've been there, seen that, did that. It's cool.
Yeah, do you know what's so funny? That is actually a good thing you said that, because if you look at all the LA kids, they don't have problems in NBA like that. Mm. You know, because they've seen it all. They've seen every movie star, you know. Coming to the games at some point, you know, you can watch them going down the street, sitting at a restaurant, so you don't get shell-shocked.
Yeah.
You don't get starstruck either. You know, I've seen it. I've done that. You know, and now it's just, you know, so when you go to Milwaukee and then some celebrity walk in, it's like, oh my God, this is,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't really fall for that whole star, you know, because it's all here.
And I feel like some people fall into like the LA lifestyle.
Yeah.
I feel like there's people in the Lakers right now, I feel like,
you gotta remember, if you're coming from Boise State, and you're from that area and you know get drafted to the Lakers or play for UCLA, you really get stuck in that lifestyle. Yeah. You get stuck into a Hollywood, you know, lifestyle. Like, oh, we're gonna go hang out with the Kristen Jenners. You know, if you did that in high school and all that, by time, you know, you got to the age where you can really party, you're like,
it ain't hold that much weight. Yeah.
In that big man on campus mentality, which is different in Lawrence, Kansas or something like that, but if you put that time in college, cool, because you might end up in Atlanta or Miami or something like that. It's not necessarily courtside at Staples, but, you know, there's just that element of a bigger stage, and you're now more ready for that.
For sure.
As far as what UCLA does, Gil, think about this. Man, they just put out so much talent, so many pros in the NBA. So for you, did you feel that, like, I'm looking at these guys like a Westbrook or Kevin Love, I mean, Zach LaVine, you can go right down the list.
For sure. No, like, because it's crazy. I didn't know how many players, like, went there. Like, I played 2K and stuff. I know, like, I know names, but I ain't pay attention to them in college. I was naive. So when I walked in, they have a wall, and it's just a whole bunch of players' names. And I remember asking, I said, what's that wall? And he's like, that's only first rounders. So they have a wall literally full for just first rounders. And then on the back wall, they got the second rounders. But it was just like the names of people. I'm like, whoa. So, of course, I can be, I don't care who you are. If you say you play basketball and don't want to go to the NBA, you're lying. Uh-huh. Like, that's everybody's dream. So, of course, I compare myself. See, how was he when he got here? Was he standout like Darren? Because I know Darren real close personally. He was a 3-year player. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if I feel like I'm more advanced than Darren right now, and he did this, this, and that, if I do this, this, and that, I feel like I got a shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I for sure look at it and give her.
He's from out that way, right?
Yeah, Darren went to Edelwanda.
Yeah, that's right.
He went to Edelwanda.
College.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, the difference between, like, you can see, like, kids who, like, some kids need 1 year, 2 years. Some kids literally need 3 months, 2 months. You know, it's one of those weird things where, you know, you're coming from, I remember watching Zion, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then from what we've seen the last game to his first preseason game, that was a totally different dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a totally different. And then from preseason to his first real game, totally different dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? So your strides become bigger than you would think, because now you have a real weight room and you know how to lift weights. You're playing against Division I guys. So from there, you're just adapting.
Yeah.
Now, you'll go into 3 days in practice and be like, man, I should have just went straight pro. Because you adapted so fast that you're like, I could have just jumped to the next level versus, you know, finishing this full season. Because your skill level, all you're doing is just, you know, it's just like a machine. You're just trying to adapt faster.
Yeah.
There's no different talent as talent. You know, if you stand out, you got to remember, all the kids you played against your senior year, they're going to college.
Yeah.
Right? So
same.
It's the same group.
Yeah.
You know, it's just who's adapting faster, who's getting better faster.
For sure.
And that's all it is.
For sure.
What you're talking about, you have to know that going in. That's what matters most.
Oh, yeah.
We're going, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, you got to always have your mind prepared for success. You know, you got to be ready for success. You can't just, I'm going, you know, when it comes, you have to visualize it. You have to see it. You have to understand it. So when it just comes and you just keep, you know, like I heard some fighters say they visualize winning, you know, the belt so much when they won it, it didn't even feel that great.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I've trained so hard in the feeling that I've put into it. Once I got it, it was like, oh,
yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's when you know you're building for the next level. It's when,
for sure.
When it comes, it's just like, man, let's keep going.
Keep building.
So what does that mean to you now? What you're preparing for coming into this next level of competition?
I'm just, keep it 100. I feel like if I really get a consistent jumper right now, I like my chances of going in to UCLA and making a huge, huge impact. I've never had a problem creating space, nothing like getting to the rim. I never had a problem with that. But I ain't always been a consistent jump shooter. So that's my main focus going in. But I feel like if I can get that down packed, I like my chances of getting the league.
See, what I got this, what's so funny is Jay Rich. So Jay Rich, when we got to Golden State, he couldn't shoot nothing.
At all?
Nothing. No, he was a dunk machine.
Yeah.
Like straight Dominique Will. Like it was just all Dominique. He was anywhere in that paint, he was trying to dunk on you. He became a three-point expert.
Yeah, I was about to say.
By his third year. Because what he did is like, well, I can dunk. I can get to the basket. I can do all this. If I can't shoot, what do I need to practice? In the summer, that's all I'm going to do. Yeah. So in the summer, he was, you know, like the shooting machine. This is the only time I seen the shooting machine. It used to go 999-0. So he'd just shoot 1,000 shots a day. Spot up threes. It just like clock, put his earphones on, and he was just shooting. And then he became a two-way player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, he became three-point shooter like you. And it was just like, so when people are like, man, I need to work on my shot. If you really want to shoot, just go out there and just shoot. Put him up.
Yeah,
just,
for sure.
Like, you want to shoot so much that you get bored.
I feel
when it gets boring, that's when you know you're shooting a lot. When you got earphones on and you done went through your whole playlist. You went through your whole playlist and you're just like, man, making shots is boring. Now I want to see if I can make like 50 in a row.
Yeah.
Now that's what I'm trying. Then when you get 50, let me see if I can make 75 in a row. And when you start challenging yourself like that, when you get into games, you start looking like Curry. What is this? Yeah. Like I'm just going to shoot it, walk away, because I've done put so much shooting in.
You're getting it out.
That it's like walking.
Yeah.
You know, sure. But you know, if I told everyone, I said, you can sign a $100 million contract. All you have to do is make 1,000 shots. I mean, 100,000 shots. Would you shoot 100,000 shots?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if you shoot 100,000 shots, your ass is shooting so good that you getting $100 million contract.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And that's how you have to think of it. You know, you have to think of it like that. Like, man, if I put that kind of shooting in, my shot is going to be so good that now I got my shooting, I got my driving, got my dunking, got my defense. You become all-around player. Like, one thing, like, we can say about Kawhi, like, Kawhi don't got this, Kawhi. What he can do is shoot the hell out of that ball.
And his one dribble pull-up.
That one dribble pull-up is phenomenal.
That's nice.
Like, I mean, like, if he gets that ball up, like, you can cash it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that that no matter how he looks on, you know, because he was a defensive player, but he becomes this mega guy because he can still put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter if he looks ugly shooting, his vertical is 32 inches.
That's it?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
32 inches, because he just got long
the
arms.
The wingspan and
he's
the
just
hand,
wingspan,
right.
Arms and hand. So, you know, arms and hand, you know, he just reaches for everything. But, you know, a guy who's not athletic, you know, a guy whose movements is robotic, put that ball in the basket. There's really nothing you can.
And he's from our area, too. So I've heard stories about, because my old high school, they're in the same league. And they tell me he couldn't shoot like that really in high school.
Yeah, then just one day he just said, you know what, I'm just going to sit in this gym and just put him up.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is he was effective to a certain point, but you want to level up.
Yeah.
So especially when you go to another level, you evaluate yourself. And so that's what you're already ahead of the game because you're evaluating, you want to become a consistent, effortless killer, I would say is what it is. Because if you're putting up that many shots, it's just effortless and it's muscle memory and automatic.
Once it comes muscle memory, that's what I said, once it starts getting boring, that's when you know you're moving. You know, like if we say, yeah, all right, everyone, let's go shoot it, you know, 100 shots. Everyone's so excited, everyone's going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? It's that tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. Like you're putting in so much that it becomes boring. Then you just got to challenge yourself where you got to, you're just making just such high expectations that now you're excited about those high expectations.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Take us through that. How in an elite program, who do you work with to develop your game? Like, what kind of support do you have?
In NBA?
No, in college.
You know, you have your ball kids and you know walk-ons that helps. But let's be honest. College and even pro, for the most part, they don't have the staff that sometimes can get you better as an individual. You know, yeah, you're going to have your team, you know, team offense, team defense, but as an individual getting better on your natural talent, you might not have a guard who play like you.
Yeah.
That knows how to get you better. So you got to understand how to get yourself better, you know, like take what they're doing and then add your spill to it. You know, and that's hard too because it's not like most teams have like ex USC players that played that was high level like a
UCLA.
I mean UCLA that have you know a Baron Davis coming back, a Westbrook coming back.
Yeah.
They got Rico that gets you better. So you do have that guy that can help you get better. But, you know, you still need to update because the game is still moving faster and faster and faster.
For sure.
Those names that you said that were on that board, those guys, that is a network. Like, UCLA does have a tremendous network. So those guys are available. Maybe it's in the summer runs or something like that. But that's the main thing I would say to utilize. Pick their brains.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, who do you have recent? You have the Westbrooks.
Recently, Eric came out of there. Holiday, Ball.
Yeah, the Westbrook Holiday.
TJ came out of there. Who else? That's probably the real.
But you got to have somebody who has, like, that has UCLA ties. You know, for the most part, you know, if you're one and done, you don't really have ties to the school like that. You just went and left. You know, so, like, somebody like, you know, Westbrook will have more, you know, pride to the school than Ball would.
Yeah. How many years was Westbrook in college?
I think
two.
Two, the Collison boys. I mean, you know, you got legacy. I mean, there's some legacy players that came through that organization.
And I can also say professionally that can help you too, that network, to use it as a resource to where they can show you the lay of the land as a pro. You're gonna say no. Why?
It's competition, bro. You don't give no one secrets.
Even if it's alumni.
You don't get no alumni, no nothing. You figure that shit out on your own. You know, and same thing with, like, come on, think about it. Like, how many veterans tell the game to the youth?
You did with Chris Paul.
With Chris, no, I just bust Chris Paul's ass for him to learn, but I wasn't trying to really, you know, I'm not telling him.
So he told me that story. He said that you had worked, well, maybe the first time, he had worked, you had worked out, gone through 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. He comes in the gym, you stayed, work out with him another 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do that.
I know. I wanted to see what he had.
So but he that's used mean. That for himself.
No, I'm just wanting to see what he has. What I'm saying is,
John Wall, same thing with you.
But what I'm saying is, like, you're UCLA, like, Westbrook is not going to teach you how to beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, no.
How to, you know, he's
some
not going to.
Some things you keep
like,
seeing.
Unless you're on the same team as him. But, you know, from there, it's, well, we went to the same school, whatever y'all little slogan is. Ours was bear down. And then from there, it's battle. We battle. You ain't no, yeah. ain't no more friends unless you, like, you're only friends with the people you went to school with.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, like, you know, when Iggy, when Iguodala, when he was in Philly, I don't have no ties to you. Yeah, we both went this 1-4 flat. I don't know what you're doing now. I don't know what kind of defense you think you got, 1-4 flat. You know what I mean? There ain't, yeah. no, ain't no friends here.
Yeah.
Shit.
Iggy went to Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Shit, Luke Walton.
They got another list.
Luke Walton played on my team, and he still got the treatment like, what team you played? 1-4 flat. Don't even try it.
ISO.
ISO'd everybody. Like, you know, so it's like one of those things where you, no one love, no one, for some reason, I don't know what it is. It's, I guess everyone's too competitive that they don't want to give you the secret.
Yeah.
They want you to figure the secret out for yourself. Like, you know, like somebody like Mayweather.
For sure.
He's not going to give his secret to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have to figure out how to be 50-0. I'm not going to give you the blueprint of what I did. You know,
especially when you're still in the game.
Yeah, so you got to study and understand, you know, the game. Like with Kobe, you know, he could have easily called Michael Jordan and say, what did you do? All he did is just grab every year, all the tapes, and year by year, he watched them to see what he added to his game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how you're supposed to, like, really develop. Like, you know, find some, like, I don't care who they compare you to, you find who the greatest are.
For sure.
And, right? And study year by year what they did, how they get better, what did they add to their game. You know what I mean? Because maybe who you idolize might not be a progressor. He might just have raw talent versus someone who has to develop, like Dwayne Wade came back with the bank shot 1 year. Then after the bank shot, he came back with the pump fake. And then he had the pullback. Now you got a guy who has the bank shot, pullback, pump fake. We all know he wasn't going to shoot a three. You still jumped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, it's like Westbrook. When Westbrook came with that hard pull-up, that changed his whole game. Because, you know, first he always hit the rim. And then now when everyone backed up and he hit that pull-up, now when he sees everyone's not backpedaling as fast, he just went by him.
Yeah.
Now you want to go, I'm going to shoot. Like, so you had that in-between game that he learned, you know, after that 1 year. It's like, okay, let me get a pull-up. And then from there, you just add on.
For sure.
I got to say, that's the important thing for Westbrook. You got to figure, going to UCLA, he had all the tools to go play in a big-time program and make a name for himself, but they realized, and he probably got some coaching at some point, you got to refine that. You got to add some gears to it to where you can go up and down the court 100 miles an hour, but if you add that pull-up, man, you're unguardable. So let's talk about this. How are you approaching, you know, entering this next level to make an immediate impact?
Well, now, I don't know what's going on because this whole quarantine.
Yeah, way different times.
So, yeah, way different. But I don't know. I like my spot. Like, the competition I got here, I feel like I can kill it. I don't want to be an asshole or whatever, but I just do. I feel like I go and take some stuff. I've always felt like I've been like that though. I'm the grimy kid. No one wants to be with me. You know what I mean? I feel like you'd rather want to be with me than against me.
Yeah. That's the way to be. Like, you know, when you're going in there, like, I'm coming here to take spots.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean,
if you're a great player, if you're a great player there, I want you to come try to take my spot because that's only going to help me.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So, you know, if you sit here playing it easy on me, that ain't helping me, not helping you, not helping me.
For sure.
Like, come at my head so I know how to react because when we leave here and we play rivals, they coming at our heads.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm gonna want you to push me. Like, so if you're a defensive player, I'm an offensive guy, I'm trying to score every bucket on you.
For sure.
Because now, if I'm going at you, now I get to see the best defense coming at me. You get to see the best offense. You know, so that's what me and Larry Hughes used to do.
Yeah. And I'm not worried. Like, I'll do whatever it takes to just get on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm willing to dive and loose balls, pick people up full court. I know I can get to them whenever I want. So I just like my spot coming in.
Okay.
So you would describe yourself as a dog?
Pretty much.
Can't teach that.
Exactly. Yeah. I was saying, have those untangible. You can fill in.
Yeah.
But if you have that mindset. But
I feel like I'm the natural a-hole. Like, I'm a natural a-hole. Like, it's just in me. My dad a natural a-hole, too. So it's just like passed down.
Passed down from generation to generation.
It just got passed down, so.
But you can use that in a good way. We call that your competitor.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, that means he's never going to back down from a challenge. You know, he's going to, you know, that's he's going to be willing to get better. People don't understand that. That gene, that asshole gene, really is key.
Yeah.
Like you need it. You need it when you get to the next level, because the next level is all about mentality.
Yeah.
It's all mental. The only thing that's different between an all-star and a all-NBA player is 10 games. You know, for all-star, if there's 82 games and it's an all-NBA player, he came to play mentally ready to play 75. An all-star, 65. That means when you got to play Milwaukee two times in Milwaukee,
yeah,
the superstar tries to turn it on. The all-star chops it up as Milwaukee. Same thing with a Detroit. Same thing with a Minnesota. Yeah. You know what I mean? Same thing with a Memphis. You know, those are the games that, yeah, you're going to come to play against the Lakers or the Clippers and the Golden State.
That's easy to get up for.
You know, that's easy to get up for. It's getting up, you know, just the superstar versus the all-stars is getting up for those games that's just boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's when you got to come in there sometimes and just start talking trash. As soon as you step on the court, like, yo, hey, you suck. Now what you end up doing is you're forcing them to really just go. Now you got the challenge, like, yo, you're not scoring today.
Yeah.
Period. So you might as well just sub yourself out. You know, so now he can get going, and now you got a real battle for yourself. Because you know, NBA 82 games, it's all about just mentally just staying there every single game. Because it's 82 games. You really ain't going to – you're not going to come to play all 82 games. You know, that 5 games and 4 nights.
Yeah.
You know, unless that fifth game, so you play Monday, Tuesday, day off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If that Friday game ain't a Laker Clipper, and it is a Memphis – and that guard you playing against is, let's say, a Roberson. You chopped it up. You chopped it up for the night. You know what I mean? It's one of those, you just circle it. Even the coaches, if you tell a coach, like, let's do the win-losses, they'll circle their predicted losses during the season, before the season even starts.
Gil, where are you right now?
In the gym.
Yeah, but what part of the gym?
Oh, I'm in a training room.
That's a very important part, especially at this stage in your life, because we have to talk about Theragun and how it applies specifically to where you are right now. Because a big part of training is also your recovery.
Uh-huh.
Right? You've known that you've had a few injuries, let's just say. Things didn't work the same way they used to when you were younger. So combat that, you use a product like Theragun.
Uh-huh.
Which is the massage deep tissue reliever that in your pocket that you can take anywhere with you.
Yes.
You're there on the training table. You break out your Theragun like this and then apply to your sore point. So which for you, what is the sore point right now?
What's so funny is I got version 1. Oh. I got the first version.
Well, let's just do this. Turn yours on. Yeah. Can you even hear this?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, that's nice.
This is Gen 4.
Quiet and gentle.
Yes. On No Chill Podcast, we step it up. Because the Gen 4 is what I have now. It's the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now is as quiet as an electric toothbrush. That's because the all-new Gen 4 Theragun has a proprietary brushless motor that's still quiet, but wonder if it's even on. While you soothe your aching muscles with Theragun's signature power, amplitude, and effectiveness. So right now you're working on something, right?
Yeah, I'm working on my legs. So, you know, after each workout, I actually have to use it to break up all that tension.
Yeah, so the important thing is with deep tissue, like that will restrict you the next day in your workout. So you need to break that up and break out the amino acids and, you know, get you back to functionality. So you're post-workout right now.
I'm pre-workout.
Okay.
So I'm pre-working out. I'm pre-workout, breaking up the scar tissue and
just getting warm. Right now.
Yeah, just getting warm for my workout and then I'll use it after.
Yeah, so it's both it's very important, pre and post. Pre to get
and loose. And you're always like me throughout the day.
There you go. I hope you sleep. Okay, Gil, so for fans of the No Chill Podcast, like we always do, we got something for you. We want you to try Theragun. So you can try it risk-free for 30 days. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with an OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need. Starting at only $190. Only $190 for the Theragun Gen 4. Go to Theragun.com/chill. Just chill and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/chill. Chill, baby. Theragun.com/chill.
Yeah, because, you know, like, it's like we call them schedule losses. So, like, I guess the media calls it what, when you rest a player? Time management?
Load management.
Load management. So let's say you plan in college. We'll go college. Let's say you play USC, Stanford, right? You play them on a Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, day off, you're flying to go play Arizona. And then that last game is
Washington State,
some bad team. Yeah. Load management on the bad team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The load management. Now, if it was flipped the other way around, right, then you'll play back-to-back. You know, but that load management game, they might count the one against Stanford as a loss or the Arizona one as a loss and give you the win against. Or they'll do, or if that last game was Arizona, they'll automatically write that as a loss because you played 4 games in 5 nights. Depending on what their schedule is, that is a scheduled loss.
Dang.
Yeah.
I would say even in college, you can go for, you have that ranked opponent. That's a big time game on, say it's on national TV. Mm-hmm. Then we play a mid-major. Maybe that's not, but for you, that could be, and using that example, it's a better situation for exposure.
No.
Which one?
Playing against that mid-major. Both, really. But the mid-major is like, all right, this isn't as high profile. But we don't play as many games
as they do either.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But college, you're 2 games a week. You're
really
excited.
Low, you're not really low.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That problem only happens when you get to that next level, trying to figure out how to turn it on, figure out how to turn it on a guy who's not in your realm.
So the great.
So
thing
if you
about,
got a guy who ain't skilled at scoring,
you
would tend to try to turn it off. Like, nah, you gotta dog him. Like, I always look at it as if you don't dog him, somehow he's gonna get confidence for something. You try not to give nobody no confidence. So like, if I was playing against you and I know you like to play defense, I'm gonna try to punch you before you punch me. So I'm gonna, like, soon as you, like, get up full court, I'm gonna just call it out and just try to isolate you. Just one full flat. We're gonna do one full flat until he get off of me, right? And then try to just, first time I'm just try to go by you, second time I'm trying to get you a foul. You know, so then I'm gonna just play this popcorn game with you.
Yeah.
And then mentally just deteriorate. Just, yo, and then now you questioning yourself. And then once you start questioning yourself, now I can just play regular basketball.
Yeah, it's reps.
You know, and just try to, I don't want, like, if you get a rip, your confidence, like, just think about it. If you playing defense and you rip me and you score, you for sure picking up full court.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, so, you know, same thing with defensive players. and offensive players, there's a chess game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a chess game. Like, I used to do this. You slap the floor on me, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone. Soon as I you get down and then you get ready, soon as I see someone get ready, you ain't gonna do that. I'm trying to go right past you, so you ain't no slapping.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, that you're trying to set the defense up, one of those, I'm gone. Like, I just used all of that. Like, you know, it's just watching the game, just watching opponents, watching coaches, watching how a coach coach.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I can tell you that I've watched you. So if I'm playing against you, I'm pushing you right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to push you right. You want to go left.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
You want to go to your left hand.
That's crazy. People ain't figured out. My whole high school career, everyone forced me left.
Because you're right-handed,
they're
going to push you left. So you develop that left drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I go left.
You like to go?
Dominant.
you're dominant left. But you're gonna eat a lot from there because you're a right-handed shooter, so everyone's going to push you to that hand.
Yes.
So no one's going to really think, let's push a right-handy to
the right.
The right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you're going to get away with that your whole career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just me just watching tape, like, okay, he favors his left. So with me, I would want to push him to his right. Let's see if he can be as dominant going right if this is his natural movement.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's all you just, because I watch tape, so I watch. You're trying to figure out how to get better. And it's through tape and, you know, practicing. Like, even when you go to, when you're challenging yourself, really challenge yourself. Like, you go in and say, hey, I'm only doing this today. I'm only going to do this. You know what? I'm going to put one hand behind my back and play defense with one hand. Because it ain't about, like, you getting, it's about you really challenging yourself. Like, did you see that Kevin Hart confessions when he confessed about Kobe?
Mm-mm.
He did a confession about Kobe. He said they were in this, they was at this All-Star, it was this Philly camp. They both was at some camp in Philly. And midway through the camp, you know, the guy who was running, it was like, y'all don't really want it. Y'all really don't want it how, you know, players like Kobe want it. This man is the number one player in the country. And he came to this camp and told me, I'm going to dominate the camp, and I'm never going to shoot right-handed. I'm going to do everything left-handed.
I did see that.
But that's how he was. Like, you know, I used to do that in practice. Like, yo, I'm only doing step-backs today. I'm going to bust you ass doing step-backs. I got blocked half the time, but that wasn't the point. The point was, I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and now if I do get that shot off, I actually perfected it because you knew what I was gonna do.
Yeah.
So there you, even in practice, pointless practices, challenge yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about challenging and getting better. Like, people don't want to challenge themselves sometimes. Everybody wants the easy road. You gotta really dig down. Like,
for sure.
Play against the best, you know. You get a chance to play against Westbrook, I got dude.
Yeah.
Dude weak anyway. You know what I mean? So now if someone do stick him, he going to point you. Nah, you come over here. I'm going to show you I'm not weak, you know, because you want that speed. You want to see what that.
You can stay in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
If you can stay in front of him, everybody else is easy after that.
Yeah, for sure.
But from a competitor standpoint, you want to measure yourself up against these guys.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Like, I tell people this. Don't ever think about competition as, like, competition. It's a measuring stick, right? Like, if that's LeBron James, that's this person, I wanna go against all of them at a high level, no matter if they beat me up. I wanna see, now I know what to work on. Okay, he didn't let me get down the court. Every time I tried to cross over, he ripped me. So my crossover versus someone that's long has to be further because that up close crossover ain't working against him.
Yeah.
You know, every time I, you know, going for a layup and I pull it back, he's strong and he rips me. So now I gotta, you know, then that's when everyone start coming with the cuff.
Yeah.
You know, you start adjusting your game, but you can only do it if you're playing against the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I'm looking at you. I'm like, my God, like you're NBA bot. Like you're, like, I'm fat. I'm fat and out of shape. and you're bigger than me as an NBA player. Like, so I'm 205, 210, 215. I'm over here like, man, I need to get off the Gatorade. You know what I mean? So you playing guard at yeah. your size, you know, that's bully ball.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? That's damn bully ball. You know, the game's getting, you know, kids getting bigger, faster, stronger. You know what I mean? So you just got to learn how to just watch tape, adapt, learn. I mean, even in the college level, like, yeah, I'm watching college, but I'm still watching pros.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't do. I don't watch the NBA like that. I ain't never. Because it's always, I feel like, because I'm in the younger era, we watch highlights more, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Pros is, like, boring. You don't see nobody, because I get excited when someone throw it off somebody's head, tween cross, setback. Like, Kyrie and Steph, those are exciting. But, like you said, when I see, like, Chicago playing against the Pistons, it's like, yeah.
Trust me. Everyone does that. Everyone does that. Nah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know why they did the NBA pass, because half them teams don't, nobody wants to see them.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, like, when you get there, you have to remember this is more, you're not a fan anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm so far out still.
Yeah, like, once you get to that level, it's a different type of
watching.
You're not watching for
enjoyment.
Fan, yeah. You're not watching for enjoyment. You're watching because I got to play against him in 2 weeks. Let me see what he does.
Yeah.
You know, let me see what his fan. That's why I said, like, me just watching, I need to watch and see what he does. Okay, he likes to do that. Okay. Mental note.
Yeah.
Well, Gil's thing was you had a notebook, literally a notebook.
Yeah,
so you would take notes on everybody.
So when I played, you know, I had a notebook, even in college, notebook of moves. So if I'm playing and see someone do a move, boop, 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 I write it down because I remember there was a kid named Eddie House.
Oh, Eddie House.
Yeah. So Eddie House had 60. Right? He had 60 against Cal.
Arizona State.
Arizona State, he had 60 against Cal.
60.
So we played them the next week. So you already know.
Oh, Arizona versus Arizona State.
You already know the papers is running wild. All the freshmen, if he ain't prepared, he's going to get, you know, killed and this and this. And then we had a kid.
You were starting?
Huh? Yeah, I was starting.
Okay.
And then we had a kid named John Ash, right, on our team. White kid, shoot the shit out of the ball. So he's playing. He's Eddie House. He is cooking us. Like, it was embarrassing. Like, he was cooking. Like, he had 60 in practice. It was that type of cooking. Jeez. Like, goddamn, this Eddie House about to kill us. So I'm watching tape, and I'm like, oh, he pulls the ball down too low.
So what do you mean, on his jumper?
On his jumper. So if I already have my hands up, it's going to be hard for him to see because he's only 5'7". Yeah, he wasn't that big. Yeah, so I'm like, well, as long as I keep my hand up, it's going to be hard for him to cock and go. So I literally ran around with my hand like this the whole time, playing defense. I just had my hands up just like this the whole time. He had 7.
Dang.
Yeah, 7, and then the next game, 6.
Oh, y'all had a back-to-back?
No, we played when we played him twice that year.
Oh,
yeah, 7,
okay.
Second game was 6.
Dang.
So the importance of film study for, you can learn so much from a guy's moves, rewind that back, learn even more detail to it, but then also when you watch full court, you know, fives, how guys move without the ball, how they come off down screens, things like that, that you don't get in highlights.
Yeah, but a player, like this is a player that might be good against someone might not be good against you.
Yeah.
All you to just find that weak. Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Like, yo, this man had, what? I just shut dudes. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, so you just got to always just keep your confidence and just do what you do. You know what I mean? And, you know, perfect the things that you can't do until they're part of something that
you can do.
You can do.
Who are some guys you're studying?
Right now, I don't really watch like that, to be honest with you.
Okay, Gil, let's turn it around then. Who should he study?
What's so funny is when I was going to college, I didn't really know nobody.
Yeah.
I didn't even know college players.
Yeah, but to get to another level, you should learn. Take things from guys.
You learn it. Like, as I said, once you get to college and you're there, you know, your preparation is different than when in high school. You remember high school, it's highlights.
Yeah.
You know, you get to watch someone's movements. And in college, you know, now you're breaking down tape. So now he's going to learn how to watch people. And then, you know, once you get to the next level, you'll start learning how to do things that, you know, it's all a process.
And I feel like I pick stuff up from people when you're playing at the highest level. You see things that certain people do. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I could do that. So I pick stuff up from like that way too.
All right, well, we wanted to get into some game within the game. I threw out a few names. I don't know if you're going to take them or what, but we said Westbrook, some comps, Westbrook and Donovan Mitchell. Who are some guys watching Jaylen's film that you were reminded of?
When he drives, it's like Donovan, because Donovan wants to go left so he can pogo off 2 feet. Let's see. Who's a lefty, big-bodied guard?
I think what's his name, left-handed? DeMar.
DeRozan. Lefty, yeah.
DeMar DeRozan go left.
He's a lefty driver, too. And he was just, you know, DeMar was just raw when he first came in. He didn't really have the footwork he had. And, you know, now he probably has the best footwork in NBA. But him and Kyrie probably have the best.
But who did DeMar study? It's kind of obvious. Kobe.
I don't know.
Kobe was a big influence on him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Big influence on him. So the point is, he added that too. You know, by looking at how Kobe worked, he added that to his game, and that gave him a whole other level. But that came a few years down the road, which is the point. Just keep adding.
College will be harder than the NBA, the pros.
Or they work harder in college.
Yeah, you work harder, but the game is harder because the game is more compact.
Compact. Everyone's sitting
there. Yeah, so everyone's sitting there. You got zones. You got real zones. You know, you got you, and then you might have someone who's just not talented, and you probably got four players on the bench that's not talented, so everyone gets the key on you. So, you know, you can really get controlled in college and then go to the NBA and then boom. Yeah, no one can guard you. Like, man, it's kind of easy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because, you know, now your strength versus, you know, speed, that person cannot stick with you. You know, you have that. You know, like, you're probably bigger than most of two guards.
For real? Because they look big on TV. You know, like,
see, that's that middle class, that high middle class. You got a big TV. You got one of them 60 inches, huh? Got the big, but like you got, you know, Klay is not a big guy.
How tall is he?
He's like 6'6", 6'7".
He's 6'6", 6'7". But he's not big. He's not athletic. You know, probably DeRozan, Jimmy Butler. I mean, C.J. McCollum's 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's little.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, you see how easy it is for him?
Yeah, he gets all. That's crazy.
You know, it's because that's what I said. It's your skill. It ain't really, as long as you can play one-on-one, the person who's guarding you with the rules, they can't really do much with you. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? So if you're stronger than everybody's in front of you, once you hit and go, it can't stand. All you do is just pay attention to the centers.
Yeah.
You know, what does these centers do? I mean,
do they
jump? Are they late? Do they take charges? And that's gonna be half your studying. What do they do?
For sure.
You know, is he a guy who is actually looking for a team stop, or is he individual shot blocker?
Yeah.
Does he leave his feet? You know, is he prone to, you know, how athletic is he? Does he like to jump? I mean, you start studying. That's what you start really studying on. For sure.
And the things that are thrown at you in college.
Like you, if I drive, I'm going to pump fake every time.
Yeah, I jump.
Yeah, you're going to jump. There you go. That's what I said. So, like, if I'm going against you, that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm trying to get you off your feet to get you one foul. Once I get your one foul because you jump, now you're going to be hesitant a little bit.
I get caught up. I like embarrassing people.
Yeah. That's what I said. So I'm going... Slow it down so you, and then, boom, let you jump.
Yeah, actually.
Game within the game right there. But the things they throw at you in college, like a full court press or two, you're not seeing those at the pro level. So what you say, it's easier
in
a sense.
Oh, they don't press in the pros,
huh? No, so what's thrown at you in college.
Is that because the rules are like, it's just...
Too good.
too good.
You got to remember in college, you know, you probably got one dude that can bring the ball up, maybe two. But when you're in the NBA, this is like when college, like think about college. Like, how many players in college? 7,000?
Yeah.
So 7,000 players, there's 13 lottery picks. So out of those 7,000, only 13 would be lottery. And then you have the rest of the draft. So college is not as skilled as you would, you know, as we think. People are playing hard, but it's not as skilled.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no, but in the NBA, it's all the elite.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to press an elite player is like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
No matter who he is, you're wasting the time. We don't even practice. I mean, when I first came in, they were trying to 2-2-1s and all that, and we just get the ball and wave everybody down and just, trying to trap Iverson in the backcourt.
You couldn't do that.
Yeah. You know, De'Aaron Fox, like, you're not.
He's fast.
Yeah, that's to say, you're not going to try to trap him in the backcourt.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're not trying to play defense like that.
More importantly.
That's the big one. We're not trying to play defense like that.
All right, Jalen, let's do it. Let's turn the tables on Gil. Time for Ask Agent Zero. Okay, what do you got?
What happened about that Boston story with a fan?
Boston story.
Talking about getting into it with a fan while you were playing.
Oh. So, you know, Boston is a little racist. You know, we're just going to, just a little. So one of the little fans is calling me the N-word.
Oh.
Right? So, which was funny because he had Paul Pierce jersey on, so that was just kind of
mind-boggling.
So I know he's not, you know, racist.
Well, yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm about to go bust your team's ass, and it's gonna be because of you. And I go out there and torch the shit out of them, right? sign my jersey and give it to him. And then every time we played him, he wore the Arenas jersey and was Arenas fan.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, like we only listen to fans. Like when you hear like NBA players complain about fans, it's only when you're losing and you're not playing well where you can actually hear someone say you suck and all that stuff. When you're winning and you're beating the team and fans is yelling, you're yelling back and doing all this and you killing. So, you know, it's more of the player than the actual fans. Fans do what fans do.
Yeah.
It just depends on what that player is doing at that moment. You know, if the player's having a bad game, he hears everything.
Yeah.
You know, if he's balling, he's in the zone.
He don't care.
You know what I mean? He don't care. So, it's more the player mood than what a fan, you know, what the fan. Like, a fan is, they paid money to sit there and do what they want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their job is to irritate you.
Yeah.
So, if you get irritated, they did their job.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So, other than that, like, I never let fans really, like, get under my skin. It's like, I always had conversations. And, that shot, hey, blame him. blame him. Tell him to shut up.
You heard it, but you use it as motivation.
Yeah. Now, you hear it, but you just, you know.
So, it's the same as, like, now in high school.
It's probably worse in high school because they're on the court.
Yeah.
You know, they're on the court, you know, talking trash. So, but it's the same. Those same kids that's talking trash is going to be at UCLA games talking trash. Get older, they're going to be at the NBA games talking trash.
Same thing. Don't change.
Yeah.
So who was, like, the worst player you played against? Like, someone you thought was really terrible?
Besides everyone? I mean,
that's more like it.
Like, trash?
Like, trash.
Like,
I know you don't like someone like you don't like. I know you don't like Shane Battier. You know,
like when NBA players got to the he was trash. Like when players, if you're in the NBA, you're good at something.
Yeah.
But
just trash you. Like if you see him, you're like, you're terrible. Like,
well, I think it's a Duke thing actually. So that's the one asterisk.
Like, there's a lot of good high school players that I think are terrible.
Are they good because the rankings are saying they're good?
Yeah.
Or do they numbers say they're good?
A little bit of both.
I mean, Shane Batty was like, he was trash.
Sorry, Shane. Gil, we got a dog here. I gotta say, this is what he's going for.
Like, I'm trying.
Unlike anybody.
I'm trying to think, because, you know, back then, you know, you're all the guards. They were like pass first guards, so they were all trash. They were.
Yeah, no one was coming at you.
Like, no, but you know, back then, no one was really trying to come through. You know, just trying to get at.
So
me.
Then, like, who was like the most hyped matchup you had? That you
who
killed
was
him.
Hyped and trash?
Yeah, like you killed him. Like you going in didn't expect it to be like that easy.
All defensive players.
For real?
Oh, there's not one defensive player that every first.
So you feel like you could fry like a Patrick Beverly?
He would have been trash. Oh, he would have got all that rough. That don't work. Because that only works on a player who can really get into their mindset.
Yeah.
And get them, like, Patrick is one of those guys that he uses the grimy. Gotta remember, he has his style. His style is junk it up.
Yeah, he doesn't have a skill set. Like
so he does, because he doesn't have a skill set, he's not worried about not scoring.
Yeah.
So if he can get you off your game, he did his job.
Yeah.
So if he can go in there and mess with Steph, and now Steph's pushing him back, Pat won.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, a player like him, I already know the mind game with him. So I'm going to beat him to that game. I'm going to pick him up full court, trip him one time, let him start arguing with the ref. Now he's going to be extra aggressive.
Now he's fouling you.
Now he's fouling me. I used to do that with, like that was one thing about CP3. So CP3 has this aggression.
Yeah.
Bulldog.
So because he's a bulldog, so like when I'm on offense, he hands check, I'll just irritate and slap the shit out of his arm. If he's on the weak side, I'll hit him. Like I'll do like little things like that, right?
Yeah.
And then when he's driving, I'll hold on to him. So what ends up happening is he has to give, I call it the ref, let me talk to you foul.
Yeah.
Right? Right? So he's gonna do his foul so he can talk to the ref.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like if you rip him, and then, like, you getting ready to take off, he's going to do the little quick foul so he can try to talk to the ref. I used to love that one. Like, because that one was usually his third.
They're checking out.
Like, he's right there. So as soon as he did that, 1-4 flat. I'm going to – 1-4 flat.
Is that your favorite play?
Yeah, because it's a great play against a player like you.
Okay.
Like, you're a strong defensive guy who can really disrupt the offense. So now if you're sitting with a San Antonio type of defense and you're sitting there pushing me to help, like you can really shut down players.
Yeah.
Like if you went to San Antonio, you're gonna be all defensive team. Like hands down. Because you have the system that goes well with it. So if I want you to stand on your own, I'm gonna push everyone down. 1-4.
Yeah.
Now you have no help.
For sure.
So now any little move, as soon as I get an inch,
jumping,
I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, now you have to stand on your own.
Okay.
You know, so that was always my place. So like Rajah Bell torched. Primarium torched. Kobe torched.
Did you enjoy torching Kobe?
Torched. Anyway, I just
did you enjoy
anyone that played defense?
But that's like a higher level of torching.
But you gotta remember, if you're on that first team defense, think about first team defense. Yeah. You are the
first team a lot though.
Yeah.
So you
but if you look at my numbers before the 60 game, I was averaging like 36 against them.
Sheesh. Is that your most memorable game though? What does everyone know you for? You know what I'm saying?
Probably for LA 60, but I tell people like my most memorable, like the one I like, is the next one, the next time we played them. So I'm doing an interview with Brendan, and Brendan told me a story that I totally forgot. So after I dropped 60 on Kobe, we're on the runway, right? Getting ready to go to Denver. Karan calls Kobe, right? And I'm in the background, is that Kobe? Put him on speakerphone, right? And then Brendan says, I yell out, tell him, since he's the Black Mamba, I was the Black Mongoose today. And they said, I'm in the back saying, Black Mongoose, Black Mongoose. They said, I'm dancing on a plane yelling Black Mongoose. Wouldn't let Kobe talk. And they said, Kobe got so mad and said, all right, we're going to see when I get down there, right? And they said, when we played them, he didn't speak to nobody.
Oh, wow.
He said he didn't shake nobody's hand, like pregame, and said, smack me on the ass and said, you asked for this. So that was my best game that I always hold, because it's one of those games where, because I scored 60 on them, now I know that this assassin is really coming to embarrass me, mm-hmm. right? Now you have a mental, this is more of a mental battle. He's coming to shut me down. The whole system is there to shut me down because I embarrassed him and talk shit, right? So the first half of that game is, that first half of that game, if you watch it, it was literally just one-on-one. It was a one-on-one basketball matchup. Going tit for tat. We're just.
How many did you score?
I ended up scoring 38.
Oh, wow.
I mean.
How many did he score?
He scored 40.
Oh, yeah, was even.
But the 38 wasn't a pretty 38. It was, I think, 10 for 28.
Ooh.
It wasn't a pretty 38. But I tell people, the 10 for 28 wasn't the point.
The fact that you knew he was coming.
The fact that I knew he was trying to kill me and I was not going to back down. I'm going to fight. I'm gonna let you know that I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
If I'm going to shoot 50 shots, I'm going to shoot 50. You're going to have to stop me from just getting the ball up. And that's where our like connection came, where he just like, yo, this man just does not give up. He just...
For sure.
Now you're coming to play me one. We're going to play one-on-one. You try to score, I'm going to try to score. That's how this is going to happen. It was one of those, like...
There's some people that get off the ball. Yeah. In high school, too.
You know, you get off the ball and you're scared of that matchup. Yeah. He done hit a big one and then he shut you down and he came and hit a big one. Usually that person's ghost after that.
Yeah.
No, I went care. 0 for 5. That must look pretty, though. It looked pretty, though. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where I took pride in going against defense. Like if you was on that first team at the end of the season and I seen first team defense, word. Yeah, I'm about to see him next season. Tony Allen, bucket again, bucket.
Tony Allen had clamps, I thought.
Yeah, he had clamps against
according
them.
According to some.
I'm getting buckets, though. And he clamped me for 4. I gave him a quick 40. 44 at that. Like, it was just one of those, like.
Dang.
If you're the best of the best, you got to remember, if you're top dog and I score 40 against you, what do you think my confidence against everybody else?
High.
What? Yo, what? But that's, you know, so like, let's say you going against James Harden and he's been averaging 36 and you kept him to 15. Ain't nobody, you ain't looking at no other offensive player the same.
Yeah.
Y'all all trash.
For sure.
Even if you score 20, you scored 20 because it helped switch, me. You was doing switches and stuff like that. You was trash against me. Everyone becomes trash now. Yeah. And your defense mindset elevates because you shut down the dog. You shut down the person who for no sure. one is shutting down. You know, and it's going to happen in college. You're going to shut down someone that everyone has hype, and then from there, your mindset is going to elevate.
For sure.
That's a statement with a statement game.
In high school, would you think you could beat me one-on-one?
Come again?
In high school, if you was my age and we played one-on-one,
he really wants to smoke.
You'd beat me.
See, because of, you know, I averaged damn near 30, 40.
You played in the Valley. I don't want to hear
Whoa.
That.
Whoa.
I mean, I did torch Crenshaw. I probably still hold the most points against Crenshaw.
That's whack.
I still probably hold the
that's
most whack. Points against
that's
Crenshaw.
Not Valley.
And that was 1 against 5. So that means, you know what that means, right? That means it's them 5 against me and they still couldn't stop me. That's, but I'm gonna be honest, you're a lot bigger than I was in high school. Like you're talking about, I'm 191 going into college. How?
205.
Yeah, I mean you.
How tall were you?
6, same height.
You ain't grown since high school? Oh, yeah, it'd been bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd have been bad. It'd have been bad for you.
No.
I don't know. Only he can answer this.
Deep.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. Like, I think he's the best defensive player in the tournament.
Oh, see, oh, yeah, I'll get you buckets.
I'll say no.
Who's not because you, because what happened is, what would happen is, they would have told me you are the best in the country, and that would have just forced me to find your weakness on defense. So I'd have just studied, okay, does he drop? Like, with me, with Jason Kidd, I only went right to left crossover on Jason Kidd because Jason must have broke his arm. So his right arm was crooked like this.
Oh.
So when I crossed, he couldn't extend the reach.
Oh.
So when I did the right to left,
But in high school, you weren't studying like
that.
But
even though I was a left to right guy, but in high school, you got to remember, I'm a guy who, my first step was way faster than everybody else's.
Oh, yes.
So from there, it's threes or layups. Threes or layups. It was...
No in between.
But also, speaking of skill, though, who's the most skilled guy you've seen in high school? We can comp it that way.
In high school, most skilled? Probably RJ Hampton. We gave us, like, about 40.
Well, you guys, I mean, it's a different game. You guys are more skilled than we were back then. Like, you're big. That's what I'm saying. It's like me trying to... You're bigger.
Yeah.
You know, there was no...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But most skilled, probably RJ. But I was
like, I had problems with Tito Maddox because Tito Maddox was too big.
Oh, you talking about like that?
Yeah, he was like you. He was stocky.
I get what you're
saying. So you know, me trying to get by him, and he's just little dude. Like, I was a little dude, then little dude. You know, like I didn't bulk up until I got into the NBA.
He's actually
bigger
than Tito too.
Yes. Yeah. See, so yeah, that would have. You probably would have shut me down.
Yeah, I think I would have sat on that.
Yeah, you probably sit on crossovers. That's where I hit you with in and out. See, my move was in and outs.
Well, those are easy to read.
For me, yes. See, for you, it depends on what side we're looking for. See, for you, a crossover, depending on what kind of guard you are, you will sit on it knowing that your first step and you're strong enough to get it, hit, and reach. Me, I'm in and out just to see what you're gonna do. So I'll come down, shift, and then see if you decide to move that way, I'm gone. If you don't move, I'm gone. So my in and out was more of a, I wanna see where he's gonna
move. Just playing with him.
Yeah. So like if you see me again, you'll always see me in and out.
Yeah. But I don't know. That'd be cool.
I mean, you would have shut me down only because of the era. But if you took me then and put me in the bodies now, bruh, stop, bruh.
No.
Bruh, stop.
I don't know. People call me defensive, but he's saying I lit some people up, too.
I was going NBA number one pick, bruh.
Like I said, I learned most of the players. Like, the people y'all name, Brendan Hayward, I know all of them off 2K. So I got to educate myself more.
He said
more.
2K.
Yeah.
A different way to learn.
2K?
Your guy on 2K not that good. That's what I was asking.
Who way?
You.
What's it, come here? Huh? Come again? What, you got the pink? You got the pink card?
Oh, you talking about the diamond?
Yeah.
That's 2K like 18. You old. That's, they don't even have that no more.
They don't have that in the newest one?
No.
People say I'm raw in the newest one.
No.
No, he's right, I'm right, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You just don't know how to use me. But he must be passing. You must be passing and then trying to shoot. No. It's just shoot. You're just one-on-one. Yeah. One full flat has it. I guarantee you. It has ISO on it. You hit that play, trust me, bro. You good.
Well, let's get out on this, Gil. Maybe that's the only way you can measure yourself against Gilbert is on video games. But that's a great what if. What if the younger Gilbert played in this era?
I got to give it to him on the high school because, we have to keep the same bodies. 191, he's just massive compared to what I was.
That was high school. We can't wait, Jalen, to see you at UCLA. Do your thing.
Yes, sir.
Cook with some home cooking.
Yes, sir.
It's a No Chill Show with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. That's Gilbert Arenas. Jalen, thank you again. We'll see you next time.